Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bavli, Volume 2. We're on page Kuf Tzadi Hey at the very top, which is still in the early stages of Perek Yud Tes. And the topic we've been talking about lately is the prerequisite of a certain sensitivity, a spiritual sensitivity, sensitive feelings for spiritual things, and how that is a prerequisite to the attribute of Yira, of fear. The overall topic was Yiras Hashlemus, the fear of losing one's perfection in service to Hashem. And we ended off the last important point as we were talking about how to develop this Adinus HaNefesh, this Edelkeit, refinement and sensitivity. Was the more a person acts in a softer way, speaks in a soft way, eats in a soft way, does everything in a delicate, refined way. And the tzaddik, right at the end, we were just finishing up quickly on that last point, was saying that the more sensitive and refined the person is, the quieter he is, the softer he is, he has the ability to discern things outside of himself that are greater than himself and to relate to them with a proper degree of sensitivity. When a person quiets down, he can appreciate other people. His senses are looking out to see how his environment around himself is feeling and reacting. When a person is loud and he's out there and making all kinds of big noises, he can't feel other people and how much greater they may be than you. Because those kinds of people, it's always you who's the center of attention as opposed to others. And, you know, there was an interesting little story in this little booklet that gave a very nice example. And it was like a one-liner, but I think it was so great. It's a goyish story, but the point is good. So this woman, she has two boyfriends, one that she meets Friday night and one that she meets Saturday night, right? So every Friday night she got with Bill, and every Saturday night she went with Charlie, and they were like really great guys. Both of them were great guys. So she didn't know what to do. She had to settle on one. She had to get married, and she had, you know, you can tell how old the story is. She decided she has to get married. So she asks a friend, well, what do I do? So he says, listen, you take a piece of paper, write down all the virtues of one on one side, where are the virtues of the other on the other side, and then you'll be able to figure out which one is the one you should get married. So very good idea. So she writes it all down. The friend comes back later and says, no, did you figure it out? She says, yeah, I figured it out. So tell me what you come up with. She says, oh, well, when I'm... I've decided that I'm going to marry Charlie. He's going to marry Charlie. How'd you come up with that? Well, listen, I'll show you what I wrote when I was with Bill. He says, when I'm with Bill, he makes me feel like he's the most important, most wonderful person in the whole world. So the person said, I don't understand. That's the reason why you should marry Bill, not Charlie. He says, wait, look what I write by Charlie. By Charlie, I want to marry him because when I'm with Charlie, he makes me feel like I'm the most wonderful person in the whole world. And that's the difference. So the Bill is the one that's focused on himself and lets everybody know what he thinks of himself, while Charlie is focused on the rest of the world, letting him know how he feels about the rest of the world. So that's like an example of if the quieter you are, the more you can appreciate other people and you'll do things for other people. You have that sensitivity. While the person doesn't have that, the louder person will not have that sensitivity. So that's critical, why you have to have, and this is such a critical point right here, where he's saying it's so important that you have that quietness will make it happen. You can relate to people greater than you, and certainly to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is greater than you. Okay, so we continue now at the top of page Kuf Tzadi Hei. Yira Panimis Eina Mehadvarim Shiroimosom B'chush B'Poel U'Mefachti Mehem. this inner fear isn't something that you could easily tell with one's senses, with one's activities, or even fear from them. Yira novas meklita daka vadina benefesh. Yira comes out of a fine absorb of being is to absorb this refinement of soul. Memela kolz mancha nefesh eina psucha lahargish dvorim dakim vadinim. As long as the soul is not open to feel these subtle, sensitive things, kashemaod shemida sayira tihia gluya. Very hard for the fear to come out. In other words, just like an inner fear, right? It's not something that's easy to spot. And it comes, and that fear comes out of the ability for the human being to absorb this refinement. So without that refinement, you're not gonna have this fear. Now, kiyom, nowadays, I was gonna discuss the challenges here. V'nei adam mitivam yecholim lamod kimat liyad kol ben adam ludaber b'kol ram uberochav lev. Nowadays, you find people by their natures have developed to the point where they're able to stand just about next to anybody and to speak loudly, to speak confidently, to speak with conceit. Anashim mesugolim lamod liyad gedoli Yisrael mamish. There's people who are capable of sitting next to great, great tzaddikim. Lo lahargish shum busha kesheheim medabrim. And they don't feel any shame when they speak with these great people, when they discuss with them what they want, and how they want. There's no feeling of the need to be quiet when you're in front of these people. It's missing that honor that they should be having when they relate, this true honor when they relate to them. Now, we have a politically correct term that we use to excuse this behavior, and it's called assertive. You know, and being assertive. You know, now, assertive, you know, depending on how you are assertive, depends on how proper that is. You know, there's a time to be assertive. If the doctor's aren't taking care of you, you gotta be assertive. And you gotta take the lead and take the initiative and demand that you get taken care of. But when you're in front of a big tzaddik, you're not assertive. You're not assertive. You know your place, man. You're not gonna tell him anything. You know. And that there's this feeling that, you know, I could say whatever I want. You know, this, my opinion is an important opinion. Now I'm not talking about when you're trying to learn and you're asking questions. You're next to a tzaddik and you're learning something. You want to understand something, and you say, you know, Rebbe, you said this. Okay, I'm sure it's true. You said it; it must be true, but I don't understand it. Can you make it clear for me? That's not being assertive. That's just wanting to understand something. But for you to feel that, you know, it's like you're talking next to your buddy. You know, it just doesn't go. I mean, these tzaddikim are miles beyond us. So, like, to know your place, you know, that's where we don't have that in society anymore. You only know your place to the extent how you can socially climb. And you fool people by, you know, buttering them up and all the other things. But really, you're looking to take his job one day. You know? And anyone that you don't, you know, so it's totally missing this idea. And you can find it he's talking about the frum world now. People are next to big tzaddikim and, you know, they speak their minds. Certainly the situation changes from person to person. But overall, but the relationship in this area is not the way it should be. There's a sense of a lacking of exaltedness. A person feels there's nobody he needs to respect. Nobody have to be in awe of. V'molida be'odam nekuda shel gasus pnimus. And this spawns within a person the point of inner coarseness. Now, gasus is the opposite of adinus. dakus, you know, coarse. And that's what's developed. L'dugma, for example, okay, our favorite example. Diburim bebeis haknesses, speaking in a shul. Right? Speaking in a shul. So look at the way the tzaddik looks at this. Hasha'ela im l'dabreis haknesses lo ena she'ela shel seichel v'shel higoyim bilvad. The question, the issue of speaking in a shul is not a question only of intellect and understanding alone. It's not a question of, okay, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? It says in the Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to talk. You know, it's not an issue that, you know, you go to this guy's talking in shul and you say, please, could you stop talking? And he says, why? And you say, well, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to talk. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, thank you very much. I won't talk from now on. You ever have that? No. It's not a question, you know, of course it's a halacha, but that's not the issue he's trying to get. It's not that the person, it's an issue of not caring to do the halacha, although that's also could be possible. But the point he's saying is, Zehu inyan shel hergesh panimi. It's an inner sensitivity. Can't you feel that talking is not appropriate in this place? It's not something that you have to pull out a Shulchan Aruch and explain to people. It's not even a concept of being afraid of Hashem. But it's rather how the soul relates to the place where he finds himself. I mean, anybody should realize you're in a place of prayer. There's people with prayer shawls on. You know, everybody knows a place of prayer is a place you talk to God. Even a goy knows that. So, you know, it's respect. Plain and simple respect. You know, even if you don't know what's going on, you shut your mouth and listen. And you show that respect. Even though you have no clue what's going on, but this is not a place where you talk. You know, you could let your mind wander, but be quiet. It's not a question, pull out a law book and say you don't do this. If a person has a refined soul, he'll understand this. The person doesn't even have to be frum. And you can have people who are frum who aren't refined. Right? So it's not, you know, of course there's violating halacha. And there's a whole different area that we can get into. But he's not going into that area. And he's saying, you know, like lectures alone aren't going to help for this. It's an issue of the refinement of the soul. You could give a million drushes how you're not supposed to talk in shul, and how it's terrible to talk in shul. But if the guy has a coarse essence, like it's a big deal. Big deal. You know, I want to do whatever I want to do. That's all. They don't even sense that the place is holy. That's what they don't even sense anything. So this has a lot to do with a person's innate nature. You know, Hashem creates people with different sensitivities. Some are more sensitive people. Others are less sensitive people. Some will have to work more on it. Some will have to work less on it. So that's this aspect he's trying to bring out over here. As you'll see, he'll apply it in all so many ways. But it's something everybody's got to work on. This is something that can be trained. So if you're trying to get a whole shul of people to stop talking, it's not going to happen just by putting a whole bunch of ushers in there. I mean, it'll help to a certain degree, but it's only a band-aid. All these issues are band-aids. They're not the real critical issue. We live in a grub society. No good English translation for that Yiddish word. Grubkite. Sam, you got an English word for that? No.
Not really, no.
Of course. It's coarse. You know, I know if a young boy, a juvenile delinquent, the Yiddish word would be a grubber jung. That's a Wildechai is one. A grubber jung. A young man who's grub. You know, it's just, there's no sensitivity. No, what we would call spiritual class.
Gross, that's what it is.
Gross, whatever. It doesn't got it. See, what are you going to do? You're going to pull out a Shulchan Aruch and tell him the Shulchan Aruch does not say it? People are like this. They don't respect anything. If they don't respect the rabbi, they think they're as smart as the rabbi. They think they're as smart as Rav Yosef Karo. They think they're as smart as every commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, they don't have any fear of it. They have no fear. So the Shulchan Aruch ain't going to make a difference. Right? The fact that you're bothering other people doesn't make a difference to them. So now what's going to make a difference? You have to start training them to be refined. That's what you have to do. That's the real trick. And a rabbi's drushas have to be on refinement of character, to talk about how to have a refined character and try to give examples, as the tzaddik is going to give throughout the balance of the chapter, that has nothing to do with talking in shul. Has nothing to do with talking in shul. Has to do with common decency, common sensitivity. It's spiritual sensitivity training. And to try to explain to people that this is not appropriate, and to show examples of how it's not appropriate, and to do workshops on how it's not appropriate, you know, till they learn to pick up that sensitivity. Or forget it. You'll never, you can impose a law, and you could put 30 ushers throughout the shul, and go, shh, you know, and you keep talking about it. I'm not saying that isn't to be done at maybe an initial stage. But you know what it's like? It's like, it's like a slingshot. You're pressing them all with this big heavy rubber band, and you're keeping them. All you need is a Shabbos the rabbi not to be there. Now, boom! Finally, whoa! It's out. Or they go to another shul. You know, in other words, you don't want to train them that in this place you got, you know, it's not cool to talk here. It's like, I haven't changed the inherent problem. Okay, there are some people that don't even know there's such a halacha. Okay, some people don't even know there's such a halacha. Okay, there's always a minority of people. If they know it's wrong, they'll stop. That's the big minority. It's the people who are the grub people. So listen, it's my right. No one else can tell me what to do. So that attitude is a lack of refinement. They don't have this edelkeit. And to try to create people, to transform people to become edel people is a monumental task. It's a monumental task. So that's really, and I don't know, I've read a lot of essays in different journals about how to deal with the talking. Our shul doesn't have the problem, I'm just saying in other shuls. Every shul's got this problem in one way or another. But I'm saying, you know, to teach edelkeit, I don't think it has ever been, I've never heard it addressed in a subject, in this area. And that's what the tzaddik is saying over here. Okay. So.
Tremendous job in our shul, and it works. And it took a long time. But in other shuls, I don't see the rabbis taking an aggressive stand.
Because they will get fired. They will get fired. Because the people on the boards are the biggest talkers in most shuls. Okay? Are the biggest talkers. And they're gonna, you know, rabbi will talk about it 1 week, 2 weeks. Then the president will call him in. I said, listen, Rabbi, we love you very much. We are very uncomfortable. We're going to lose members, Rabbi. And if we lose members, we can't pay you. You get it? Okay, Rabbi. You know, twice a year, token is, I think, a good thing because our guilt needs to feel a little guilty. Twice a year, and that's fine. And if you want to, you know, maybe we'll stop the services a couple times. But that's enough. We're not interested. At the end of the day, you know what? The rabbi will get fired, he'll go to another shul, he'll have the same problem. So most rabbis have given up because they realize they have to take care of their families. They have to take care of their families. That's the issue. That's when you give too much power to boards, they destroy their own shuls. And that's what happens. And the rabbi has got no choice. He has to suck it up. Or if he wants to try, he'll probably lose his job. Like, you don't realize. Balabatim are tough fellows. So our shul is just learning this. You know, in a couple more years, the board will be just like the other board. We'll be like other shuls. We're slowly getting there. Slowly getting there. So, you know, it's like, that's how you get in mainstream. So, but and that's what happens. And it's not just the talking. It's like, oh, rabbis are afraid to talk. They're afraid to talk. Like, you can't. People aren't ready to hear it.
All those people.
So that's what the tzaddik, that's... Yeah, they call the rabbi in. Yeah, you hear these stories. Call the rabbi, you know, these ideas, you know, criticizing the rabbi. It's like, it's part of what people do. That's part of shul business. Criticize the rabbi. It's because we have the right to criticize him. We pay him after all. So we can criticize him. It comes with paying him. It's a real terrible situation that exists. And that's, you think any rabbi wants that to happen? But, you know, you have to be willing to lose your job. And you know, he'll talk to other rabbis. I'm going to say, listen, you know, speak to that guy. He lost his job. Speak to that guy. He lost his job. You know, or people just, and more than that, the more the rabbi says to be quiet, and the more people aren't quiet, the less respect they have for him. Right? So it gets to the point, he says, it's not worth it. Let me cut my losses and pick my battles, and I'll try to at least accomplish a few things with a few people somewhere else, you know, in the shul. You know, maybe I can teach him some Torah. That's the situation. You know, the whole covet for a rav is almost non-existent. Everybody, you know, they come home, they analyze the rabbi's speech. He was wrong, he was right, he could have done this, he could have done that. He's not up for your analysis. Right? I don't get this. You know, what do you mean? He's a paid employee like everyone else, and we can discuss the janitor, how good he does, and we can discuss the caterer, how good he does, and the chazan and the rabbi. It's all one thing. You know, and if you don't like him, you tell him, and you rein him in line. And that's how things work. So that's what you get. And you get this in yeshivas. You get this in yeshivas where board runs the yeshivas, and they tell the Rosh Yeshivas what they should be doing. It all, you know, don't teach them to be too frum now. Okay, you got to remember, we're a modern Orthodox crowd, Rabbi. Don't tell the boys that they can't go out with girls. We don't want to hear that. Okay? And if you do, we'll find another rabbi that will tell us things a little differently. It's the end of the day. So that's by and large, especially when you're dealing with balabatim who are rich. Because when you're rich, you are for sure smarter than anybody else in the world. The proof is that I'm rich. The other guy's a bunch of dummies. If they were smart as me, they'd have the same money. So therefore, what I say goes. And that's it. That's all there is to it. And the people who are really refined and delicate, they don't want to get dirtied in this area. You know, that's the problem. The refined and delicate people, they stay away from these areas, and therefore the other people step in. In general, I'm saying general, there's exceptions. But, you know, I told you, I sent a letter to the VAD. Within the VAD, I sent a letter, and I said how deplorable the speaking is. Nobody answered me back. Not one rav. Two. And two of them really weren't pulpit rabbis. One was, I think, in outreach. I'm trying to remember, it was two. I got two, I sent the 50 rabbis. It's on a list, right? 50 rabbis I sent. We're talking about, it was during something bad was happening there at Yisrael, and I said, I think we should do something about the talking in our congregations. I think this is something we should do to work on. Nobody responds. So one guy, sort of Shochet responded. He responded. And one other outreach rabbi who was a very small, minuscule place. So he doesn't have that much of a problem. Anybody? Nothing from nobody. I said, okay. So I understood. The silence was deafening. That's from the Vada Rabban of Toronto. All right? Are they bad people? Not that they're bad people. Chas v'shalom. They're wonderful people, but they're strangled by their balabatim. And that's it. So, you know, one person said, maybe you should write a letter to their balabatim. I said, right. So that's the way it is. That's all there is to it. And that's what you get. Okay, anyway. So that's the idea of being assertive. People have to be assertive, you know. And if you're assertive, then that's how you make things happen. Yes, sir. Who has a question? Somebody has a question. For who? Made for who? Goyim. Oh, Gaboyim. Big difference there. Okay.
Okay. Anyways, and they were discussing the issue, well, a number of issues, but the key issue they were talking about was talking during davening. And they had, they discussed about seven or eight or so methods of stopping it. The last method that they said was, and maybe we should get the rabbi to speak about it. In other words, the presumption is the rabbi isn't going to do it. Like it's an endemic, you know. That just we got to take care of it. We know the rabbi isn't going to get up and speak about it. They said then maybe we can ask him to speak about it.
Well, because they'd rather have the rabbi give his political analysis of what's going on with the last elections. That's what Baal-Bad would rather hear. And a few good jokes.
In this case, because his dads were genuinely troubled by the talking, it just never crossed their mind that the rabbi could be part of that role.
Right.
That's how they've grown up, is to just see it as the rabbi as powerless and not ready to take action.
Right, and that's what you get. And people doesn't bother them. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't bother them. They find it's fine. As long as we have a large membership and can pay the bills, that's what counts. That's how they look at it. That's their fiduciary responsibility. Yeah? You had a question? No? Oh, okay, good. Let's continue. Nekuda Zubin Evesh. Okay. So, this point of the soul, of being in awe of someone greater than you. Now, I don't know, every time I speak to Rabbi Taub, I never open my mouth to him. Whatever opinions people have, you know, he's the senior rabbi, him, Rabbi Shochet, when I call them, I always speak to them in the third person, and I know my place. You have to know your place when you're speaking to certain rabbonim. You have to know your place. You have to know how to, where they're at and where you're at. And you have to be respectful, right? So in being of awe of someone, you know, greater than you, Chashuv Ma'od L'Avod Hashem is so important in terms of Avodas Hashem. Hadinus HaPnimis Shemekora B'Nekudas HaNefesh HaPshuta, this inner sensitivity whose root is in the depths of the simplistic soul, is one of the fundamental points that a person has to learn to acquire. You have to learn this. This is not an external acquisition or development. Also, you can't even express it. It's an inner feeling of a soul that's able to feel this. Chazal, this is why it's such a difficult topic. If a rabbi starts talking about this, half of them won't get what he's trying to say. They're so out of it, they don't get it. And when you're going to start talking about it, people will say, oh, you mean we should be wimps, eh? that's how they're going to understand it. It's such a hard concept to put into words. But if you see it, you see it. You know, you look at people, if you're sharp and you're observant, you can right away spot it. That one has it, that one doesn't. It's like so clear. You know, even by the way, by everything, the way you see how people are in a kiddush, the way you see how they're davening, the way you see how they're singing, you can see who's got it, who doesn't have it. It's like so obvious where it is. Chazal Omrim, the rabbi say, Shebe'ik v'sed Mashiach, at the times before the Mashiach, Chachmas Soifrim Tisrach, the wisdom of scholars will be denigrated. V'yirechet Yimasu, and those who have fear of sin will be loathed by others. V'ha'emes tehe ne'ederes, and the truth will disappear. Ne'orim, the younger ones, p'nei zekenim yalbinu, will humiliate the elders, etc., etc. I'll give you an example. There was a shiva house a couple years ago. It was a person that had connection with our community, but they weren't members. But I was there at the shiva house. During the week, Shiva's Mincha Marv. So I'm there, you know, and like I'm dressed like a rabbi. I look like a rabbi, right? Right? And you have this, like, you know, 19-year-old kid who just came out of one of the Orthodox day schools, who's in university. So be Mincha Marv, you know, and Mincha was over, and I kind of said, we can go on with Marv. And the guy said, no, we have to wait. And he's telling me all the halachas of Mincha Marv. Yeah, so I wanted to tell him where he should be in his place, but I said to myself, who am I talking to? You know, it's like, it's what a 19-year-old, he thinks. As a 50-year-old rabbi, you know, as not so bright that I am, but he shouldn't figure that quickly, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, like, contemporaries. So, well, where I am, you know, we wait. I said, you know, we really don't need to wait. We can go ahead. It's after. No. You know, we have to wait. Okay. It's not the place to make my battle. It's not the place for me to do that, you know. And so examples, you know. You think most kids, okay, there's some differences, you know. Like Shelley, your kid would never do that. You see, your kid has that adinus. He has that adinus. But a lot of his classmates don't. You know, most kids, they graduate high school, they're big knockers. You know, they do whatever they want, you know. You go over to some of them, tell them to be quiet and shul. They think you're crazy. Who's that old man to tell me what to do? It's like unbelievable, right? So that's what he's saying. The young ones will humiliate the old ones. Nekudas to this point, shenar malbim pnei zaken, where the nar, the young one is humiliating the elder. He defines it very well. He says novas mikach shenar ina margish behevdol shebeinu levein hazaken. The nar, it comes from the fact that the nar, he doesn't sense even that there's a difference between him and the older guy. It's not so, one second, I gotta finish it. It's not even so much, intentional chutzpah that he thinks he's the greatest guy in the world. It's not even coming from that place. It's from the very similar idea that me and this guy that are 30 years older than me, you know, we're much the same. He's not intending to insult and embarrass the elderly person. But this picture, this idea that a young guy and an old guy are two separate worlds, that idea, he's totally clueless to that idea. He doesn't get it. He figures, I'm the same as that guy. I wear a kippah. And he has a hat. I don't know why he has a hat. He's an idiot for having a hat. Oh, everybody normal doesn't wear a hat. Right? You don't need to have that. Zoi nekuda pnimi satmuna benefesh. This is an inner feeling that's buried in the soul. Zelo inyan lahazber sichlo v'yoni. That's something you can't explain to somebody. If I would have gone to that kid and said, do you realize I'm a rabbi 30 years older than you? You understand that? I've gone through the Shulchan Aruch many more times than you have, and you haven't even gone through it once. You know, he'd think, boy, this rabbi's on an ego trip. What's wrong with him? I don't even say it. There's nothing even to say. It's like he can't even understand it. You know, it's part of the societal upbringing. You know where it comes from? It comes from him watching TV all the time, where Disney shows you how inept the parents are, and how the kids are smarter than the parents. So if you keep watching those shows, that's what you think it is. Right? And you keep hearing how the parents tell them that they are smarter than the rabbis. So that's where it comes from. So you can't fault the kid. Kid wasn't intentionally trying to be a bad boy. He can't even get it, that what he's doing. He just can't get it. So you're going to sit down and explain it to him between Mincha and Marv? You know, it just doesn't, you can't do it. Right. Im adam mitzad atzma, I didn't forget you, Sam. Im adam mitzad atzma in a margish benavsho, sheish mechuyavos, lis naigla adam ben shimim, bishonal adam ben esrim. If a person from himself can't feel it within himself that there's an obligation to conduct yourself to a 70-year-old different than a 20-year-old, if you don't get it, Lonitan lahazber lozos, you can't explain it to him, ulashachneoso, and to convince him, kikach tzorech lino, that that's the way you have to behave. If I gotta explain, you know what it is, where the husband comes home and the wife is crying, and the husband says, why are you crying? You know, and it's your anniversary, right? he didn't say anything about it. So she says, if I got to explain it to you, it's even worse. It's even worse if I got to tell you why I'm crying. Wait, just tell me why you're crying, and then I'll take care. If I got to tell you, it's like you're so far gone, you don't even know what's wrong. Right? So that's the issue. Yes, Sam, what was your question?
There are two issues here that I'm a bit disturbed with. Number one, it says here that Hazal have said that in the period before the Mashiach, this is what is going to happen.
Yes.
So is this an inevitable thing that we have to go through? So therefore, talking about and trying to correct is really useless? Is that what he's trying to say?
No. The rabbis are saying these will be the symptoms of the a galus that lasts so long. Remember, before Mashiach, we have to come to the end of the galus. It means galus will have spent itself out in its ugliest way. It's just what naturally is going to happen. It doesn't excuse people's behaviors. In other words, if you live long enough with goyim who don't have this sensitivity, yidden will have the same lack of sensitivity, and that's what's going to happen, right? And people will choose which behavior they want, but it's going to be a large amount, and quite frankly, many of those are not going to make it out of the galus.
Therefore, that's inevitable.
It's not inevitable for any one individual. It's inevitable for a large group of the generation. But everyone has free will choice to decide how they want to behave. It's a prophecy, it's fine, but it doesn't mean that Sammy Polster has to have the chutzpah.
But if Sammy Polster, many like him, think the same way,
It has to be that a large amount of people will be that way. It doesn't mean that each individual has to be that way. There will be those who can choose to behave differently. Yes, there'll be a lot. For example, what's the biggest chutzpah? The biggest chutzpah is that all the conservative reform people said the Yiddishkeit of the past isn't the proper. So what is that saying? I mean, us young whippersnappers, we know more than you alte cockers, excuse the expression, right? So now what happens? So 80% of Yidden or more are in that category. So what's going to happen? They will just fade out of Yiddishkeit and they won't exist anymore. But first they vote for Obama and then they won't exist anymore. Okay? Right? Because that's Obama represents this. What was the difference in Obama and McCain at the end of the day? Okay, black, not black. A lot of whites voted for him. Right? Difference is he's 45 and young. And McCain his face looks kind of weird. He's an alte cocker. That's the end of the day. You know what they say? You know what they say when a synagogue fires the old rabbi and brings in a new one? A new brush cleans better. You know, get rid of the 70-year-old rabbi and bring in a 25-year-old rabbi. A new brush cleans better. I'm just saying, so what did Chazal say? Chazal said people will choose. They chose to say, you know, keeping Shabbos in America you can't do it. And, you know, we don't respect what the old rabbis have to say. You have a free will choice. And there are those few who listened and stuck the ground, remained Orthodox, and built Jewish day schools. And those are the ones that are left. And everyone has a free will choice. There will be a wave of this chutzpah. So are you going to be part of the wave, or are you going to go against the wave? But at least you are. What's the benefit? At least you're pinpointed as to what the problem is. And if you begin to detect the symptoms in yourself, you're going to say, "Uh-oh, I better do something about it." So it doesn't mean that just like with Paro, Hashem said to Avram, that your children are going to be slaves in a foreign country. It didn't mean Paro had to be the one to enslave them. Somebody would have to, but didn't have to be Paro. Right. So everyone has a free will choice. Nobody has to be the one who is who the Chazal are described. Okay.
Second point was,
yes,
that you said that in the case where you encountered this 19-year-old, you decided not to do anything about it. But isn't exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do. Like, you should have told him, look here,
you know, the Chazal say like this, but just like there's a makom where it's a mitzvah to say, sometimes it's a mitzvah not to say. You know, if it was a child in my congregation, then I would have dealt with it. You know, because then I have some kind of power. I would speak to the parents. I'd call them in. It's a whole different thing. This guy, like, I don't know him from Adam. You know, all will happen will be a negative. You know what will happen? He'll tell all his friends how crazy this rabbi was. You know, Westmont has a crazy rabbi. He's crazy. Can you imagine what he does? You know? So you can't, it's not my place. I can't fix him up. And even if you say, it's like, it'll create more negativity than, you know, there are people who should be in charge of that young man, right? And he's a member in a different congregation, and let him do it. There's nothing, you can't, you know, that idea of criticizing if you see there's not going to be anything to begin, it's a one time, I'll never see him again. It's just not going, and there'll be resistance, and, you know, and most likely it will cause him to insult me and be even more chutzpahdik. So it'll probably be worse. It's not, you have to know where to pick your battles. You know, so in my congregation, I try to wield the proper direction to the kehillah. And there are those who like it, those who don't like it. Those who don't like it, they've left. The ones who feel that they can, you know, they want it a different way. They've left. They've all left. They've gone to shuls where they can, you know, do what they want. Right? But in places where I'm not, I can't push my weight around a kid in a shiva house. It's just can't do it. You have to know when to be quiet. It's very important to know when to be quiet. Nekudazu, this point, Shri Galias Eitz Alavet Hashem, has to be with a person who serves Hashem. Hayira hi talada me'abchanas daka shal yachzis madrega yona la'umas madrega tachtona. This fear is a result of being able to have this subtle discernment in the relationship of something that's on a higher level from something that's on a lower level. If you don't have the utensil to feel fear, lo yira b'muvan shalpachad, not the fear of a fear, trembling like in front of a wild animal, not that kind of fear, ela hergish dak b'yachas l'v'yadam, but a fine, sensitive understanding in his relationship with people, kashal agil yira b'var yisbrach, it's going to be very hard to fear HaKadosh Baruch. A person has to work on himself to develop this softness, sensitivity, feelings. To relate to things in a very serious fashion and with respect for everything according to its time, place, and situation. Okay, let's look at another 3 minutes. Let's go to the next subtopic. Hergeshi guf, hergeshi neshama. Feelings of the body, feelings of the soul. Nevaris et varim ksas yosem mepnimius. Let's try to explain this a little deeper, this concept. Shoresh hargeshim shala adam. The root of the feelings of a person, nimtza b'neshama, are found in neshama. That's the root of it. V'ahi slapshu shalahem, but the enclothement of them, who he beguf, it's in the body. L'mashal, for example. Ladam yesh esminas ahava. Every person has an attribute of love. You have it deep in your neshama. Your neshama is in the tzelem Elokim. And Hashem loves, and you have it eminently capable, the characteristic of loving in the most amazing way, like Avram Avinu loved people. Hava shoresha b'mash neshama haves ruchanias. The source of the love is in the neshama that loves spirituality. It loves it. Every one of us would love a 2-hour shachris. Unbelievable. Our neshamas would love that. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Knesset Yisrael, Torah, Mitzvah, etc. To love Hashem, to love the Jewish people, to love the Torah, to love mitzvahs. However, Kesha neshama mislabeshes b'soch haguf, but when the neshama gets enclosed in the body and there is a break between the body and the soul, the body takes the quality of love and uses it for the body's needs, as the bracket says, Ohev lechol, I love to eat. Ohev lesachek, I love to play. And you're taking, this is what is called the mystical term of ahava nefula, fall in love. Love that's going into the wrong place. That love is a tremendous power. It's a tremendous koyach. But when it gets into the body now will use it in areas where it's not necessarily the optimal use of that area. Now, where these distinctions come from, how we deal with that, that's going to be the topic for tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.